Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8. I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2 with me. Psalm 138, and we'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the words of thine own hands. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much. What a privilege to get to preach your word. I pray that, please, you would help me tonight. And Lord, I ask that you would fill me with your power. I pray that, Lord, you would open your word to us tonight. Please strengthen us, help us to focus, and Lord, where we need to reset, help us to do so. Thank you. Wonderful words of life. You've given us such a wonderful book. You've inspired it. You've preserved it. It's perfect. It's pure. Now help us to build our lives upon it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at the word there, look at verse number 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. If you ever want to do an interesting word study, just look up in a concordance God's small g in your Bible. You'll find it's talking about demons. It's talking about devils. And you say, does anybody notice what I do for the Lord? God notices. And the spirit world sees what we do when we sing, when we pass out tracts, when we go soul winning. Okay, it is just an interesting little tidbit. My text verse is verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And I wish you'd do something to remember this little phrase here, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. There was a time when independent Bible-believing Baptist churches were clearly distinguished from Pentecostal, charismatic, Unitarian gatherings and all the liberal meetings. It was not just the music that was different. It wasn't just the clothing that was different. It wasn't just the order of service that was different. But people in Bible-believing, Bible-centered churches believed the Bible to be the Word of God and the final authority for the Christian. The charismatic, experimental, mystical groups believed that inner voices, impulses, feelings, and impressions were the final authority. It used to be easy to tell one type of a church from another. Now, any pastor I know that's trying to hold to the authority and the integrity of the Word of God is having to fight for the spiritual life of their church. As more and more people sit with a King James Bible in their lap and listen for voices, impulses, feelings, and impressions which they mistake for the Word of God. It's a tragedy when people who have a holy Bible in their hands and a Bible-believing preacher to sit before in church 3 and 4 times a week, and yet they still say, I'm just waiting for God to speak to me. I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. I'm just waiting for the leading of the Lord. they say this as though God hasn't spoken. Or He has something extra to say to them that He didn't say to everybody else. We used to laugh that stuff off as Benny Hinn junk, Ernest Angsley junk, charlatanism junk and foolishness. Now, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, people in that talk that way. We're seeing and hearing more of this stuff. Our statement of faith says we believe the Word of God to be our final authority and our final and absolute authority. But our practical living testifies to something quite opposite. The Bible says, but I feel. The Bible says, but I was led. The Bible says, but I didn't have peace about it. And people go to prayer now, not to ask God to give them the spiritual courage and conviction to apply what the Word of God says, but they're hoping God will speak to their heart with an inner voice and give them an alibi for not doing what they know the Bible says. If I read to you Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, just listen, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So God says at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But listen closely to my next statement. Yes, there is no other name above Jesus, but if we make this statement, the highest thing in the universe is the name of Jesus Christ, that's a false statement. Because we read in Psalm 138, verse 2, what has God put above His name? His Word. God has put, yet Jesus' name is above all names, but God has put His Word above His name. God has put His Word above His name. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The charismatics, feelers, and squealers would say, Jesus led me. And then we would say, well, but the Bible says. And then the charismatics would say, oh, that's just the Bible. Then we would say, just the Bible? God's magnified His word above His name. Now, King James only, independent Baptists say, well, yes, but Jesus told me. And when they're told, but the Bible says, now they're saying, yeah, but that's just the Bible. Now, the same unholy spiritual influence that brought down those churches is starting to influence our type of churches. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible, if you will. I'll give you, while you turn to Ephesians 4. God says what we're getting ready to read here in Ephesians 4 to everyone here. Because I don't know of anybody in our church that comes from a Jewish household. Okay? I don't think anybody here does. I know I don't. All right. You're turning to Ephesians 4. For 4,000 years, God had never said anything to us Gentiles. God called out Abraham, and the covenants were to the Jew. The ordinances were to the Jew. The commandments were to the Jew. The testimonies were to the Jew. The priesthood and the altar was given to the Jew. The sacrifices were given to the Jew. The only way a Gentile could get any more light than his conscience and the evidence of creation was if a Jew came and preached the word unto him, and we know how prejudiced the Jews were, and if you're wondering about that, we remember Jonah? He had to be swallowed by a whale to go give the gospel to Gentiles. That's because Jews are very prejudiced people. Very prejudiced people. What the Gentiles substituted or what they had to use in place of the Scripture, because they didn't have any, in place of God speaking directly to them in writing, they had to make stuff up. They had to make it up. They had to make a religion up. You see, they would approve or disapprove of it based on their level of respect they had for the person who made it up. Or they approved or disapproved of it based on how convinced they were that what they made up themselves was from some god, small g, or deity or a supreme being out there somewhere. Study the religions of the world and you'll find out they worship the wind, the spirits, the rocks, the supreme beings of this and ancient ancestors because they didn't know what else to do. God wasn't speaking to them. They just made things up. The Chinese made things up. The Norsemen and the Vikings made things up. The Greeks made... You say, are you sure? The whole religion, Zeus, Methuselah, and all that stuff, comes from one poem by a man named Homer. The Greeks built their whole religion on that. One poem from some guy that had pepperoni pizza before he went to bed. That's how come the Greek society is so cultic and so short-lived and so depressing. It's a horrible, it's a sad, you know, you look at the Greek culture and, you know, their religion and stuff like that comes from the poem of one man. They just made it up. Literally, just make, okay, some big god Zeus and, you know, Hercules and all that trash. It's paganism. Just dreamed up by somebody. God wasn't speaking to them. Now we live in a day where people go to church and they make things up. People go to prayer meetings and they make things up. People get on the radio and they say stupid stuff that they made up. As though God still hasn't spoken to us. As though they're still waiting for God to speak to us. If you have a King James Bible in your lap, you have what God has magnified above His name. Unless you have mastered all 66 books, can I just ask you a question? Why are you asking for something else? You say it's a big book. I know, but we got a lifetime to do it. Amen? That's why one of the Bible reading plans is take a book of the Bible. Look, I'm free. If you need to read the Bible through for a year, I've done that many times. I like that. But I love the thing of, why don't you pick a book? Pick the book of Romans. Read it every day, all week long. That's 16 chapters a day. Read the book of John. Pick one book and read it every day. And literally, I mean, ingest it and master it and mark it and memorize verses out of it. Then move on to another book the next week. In a little over a year, you will have read more than the Bible in a year. But you will have associated yourself with it. You're there in Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 17. This I say therefore, Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past, that's in times past, feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now, I think most of the people here tonight, you're a Christian and you're no longer a Gentile. I know we're a Gentile church, but remember in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or Greek or Scythian, bond or free, you know, all that, okay? So, you're a Christian now, you're not a Gentile anymore, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. When you were a Gentile, you used to walk in the vanity of your mind. You thought it, you felt it, you were impressed, you were moved, you were led, you were stirred, you were stoned, okay? Hopefully not too many. However, that time's supposed to be over. That time is supposed to be over. You lived that way when you were a Gentile. Now you're a Christian. Ephesians, look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They're talking about Gentiles because of the blindness of their heart. I was a Gentile before I got saved. I didn't know anything of sacrifice and worship. Didn't Jesus tell the woman at the well, you worship, you know not what? He's looking at the half-breed and he says, you don't even know what you're doing. He said that in John chapter 4. He says, Jesus told the woman, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The apostle Paul in Greece, in Athens on Mars Hill, in his preaching, he said, to the unknown God whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. They didn't know what they were doing. Before you were saved, though you may have believed in God, you may have been religious, though you may have had a level of interest in spirituality or spiritual things, the Bible says you were ignorant. Why? Because you didn't have any written revelation from God, or what God had written didn't matter to you. Now that you're saved, why would you continue to live in that Gentile ignorance of blindly pursuing the voice of God, the will of God, the leadership of God, blindly pursuing and groping for the purpose of God in your life? You have a Bible. You don't have to live that way. That's the way you used to live before you're saved. I wonder what my purpose in life is. I wonder what God wants me to do. You have a Bible, child of God. You've got a book in your hand that God wrote. The time of not knowing God's will, the time of not knowing God's purpose, the time of not knowing God's intent for your life is over. Those times are past. There are saved people that say, well, I'm just waiting for God to lead me. You're speaking like somebody that doesn't have the Word of God. There are saved people that say, well, I'm waiting for God to show me what to do in this situation. So God's Word's not complete? More and more people who claim to be King James Bible, independent Baptists, are doing what is right in their own eyes and then putting Jesus' stamp on it. Who told you to do that? Well, it's something I've always wanted to do. Did you read the Bible? Did you pray about that? Well, no, I want to do it, and I do what's right in my own eyes, and then I just say, Jesus led me, and voila. It's sad watching what's happening. You see, go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2. You're in Ephesians 4. Just go over a couple of books to Colossians 2. Those days are supposed to be over when you get saved. You see, you're going to Colossians 2. The Bible isn't enough for them. If the Bible doesn't say what they want it to say, then they don't believe it. They rubbed their Bible. The genie didn't come out and grant their three wishes. Now, because the Bible's not enough for some people, they're turning to mysticism, contemplative prayer, which is pagan meditation, emotionalism, and feelings are being turned to because the Bible just isn't enough. No, the Bible's enough. God gave you His Word. You have enough. If you got a King James Bible. Amen. If you got a King James Bible. Colossians chapter 2. Watch this. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. I'm at Colossians 2:18. And worshiping of angels. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let nobody trick you or beguile you or cast a spell on you. Why? If you believe the Bible to be the Word of God and it is the final authority, then any appearances of angels or spirits, they're to be tried, never worshipped. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. If anyone tells you they saw an angel, they didn't see one. It's what it says. They're vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. But I had an experience. Don't trust it. They didn't see it. They're trying to give you a show of religion. They're trying to, well, I had an experience and I saw this angel. They did not see it. God said they didn't. Anyone claiming to have a supernatural vision didn't have a supernatural vision. Why would anyone tell you about a light they saw, or a winged woman, or a UFO, when they could have told you about Jesus Christ who died for your sins? They're trying to lead you to themselves or an experience instead of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. They said that on the news. Yeah, this UFO saw it there, tried to... these experiences... You said that on the news? Why? You mean they were really writing down what you said? Why wouldn't you give the gospel then? The worlds need the gospel. They don't need your experience. You see, what they're seeing is vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. You see, we don't want to hear about your 900-foot Jesus or your little bitty Jesus. We don't want to hear about any experience or what woke you up at 4 or why you couldn't sleep. We don't trust anything except the Bible. We don't depend upon anything except the Bible. Why? Because God has spoken and magnified His Word above His name. Above His name. Yeah, now go to your, take your Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We just live in a, I think as, you know, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and as we get closer to Jesus coming, the deception and the weirdness is going to get worse and it's going to get multiplied. But there's some weird stuff going on. There's people are talking weird. They're talking, Christians aren't supposed to talk like, well, I'm waiting for God to show me. Are you reading your Bible? That's the way heathen talk. Do you understand? They don't have the Word of God. A Christian's supposed to say, I'm searching the Word of God. And I'll show you that here in just a second. Watch this. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the mount. We have also a more sure word. I wish you'd underline those three words in your Bible. A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rising in your hearts. I know thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember when we read Ephesians chapter 4 and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. And God says you would do well to take heed to His word which shines as a light in a dark place. This illumines your mind. It illumines your mind. God used Peter. Now here's the whole story here. God used Peter to pen. We have a more sure word than any experience. He had a good experience. Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They heard the voice of God audibly. And God testified to it. We know that's a true experience. And Peter said, we were there. We saw Him in His glorified body. Right? Shining. Then God testified of it in the Gospels, and then God used Peter to pen, yet my experience of hearing God's voice does not compare to the book you have in your hands. We have a more sure word than any experience. And I'm sure Peter's sitting here going, wow, that was really wonderful. I'll never forget that. Till I die, I'll never forget hearing God's voice from the heavens. But he said, Christian, you are to not live that way. You're not to live for an experience. Boy, I wish I could hear the voice of God. You've got a Bible. You've got the Word of God. Every time you read it, God is speaking to your heart. If you listen. If you listen, you have a more sure word of prophecy sitting in your lap. You see, the Lord speaks to you through His Word, but never outside of His Word. You either made it up, or He thought He told you that because you're so stuck on yourself, you think every thought you have that comes into your head is from God. I'm preaching tonight, so breathe, okay? All right? Listen to what I'm saying, though. I'm talking about people that talk this way, and I don't want you pulled into that. Well, I had an experience, or I had it. They're stuck on themselves. They're vainly puffed up. They're proud in their mind. And they're trying to pull you to themselves. See, I had a better experience than you did. Oh, all you did was read your Bible. I'm so sorry. So sorry. And they're trying to belittle you. They're vainly puffed up in their voluntary humility. That's what we just read about. Be careful, Christian. You have a more sure word of prophecy. You see, charismatics used to do this. Now Baptists who say they believe the Bible are doing it. They're sounding like Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons. I saw an angel, and he gave me a new revelation. You see, God says, I'll say it again, God says you didn't see anything. It's like UFOs. Most visions and appearances and experiences are devils offering you something to believe in other than the Word of God. There's no such thing as UFOs. They're demons. Say, are you sure? There is no life on another planet. Are you sure? Eve is the mother of all living. That's what your Bible says. But Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, have you ever noticed how godless those shows are? Have you ever noticed that? They all have their own humanism, the Force. I remember when Star Wars came out. Then I got saved, and they started teaching the New Ageism, and George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, and what they were pushing. The Force is used to describe Satan. Use the Force, Luke. Have you ever noticed all of how godless the other space shows are? How come some of the abductees that say, I was getting ready to be abducted by a UFO and I claimed the name of Jesus and then they left? They responded to the name of Jesus? Has anybody thought that through? So they're from another planet and they responded. That's because they're not UFOs. There is not real aliens. They're demons trying to give an experience outside of the Word of God. There is no such thing as UFOs. Okay, we went out on a path. We've shot the rabbit, skinned it, turned it into slippers. We're wearing it and we're walking back to the Bible. Let's go back to where we came from. Okay, here we go. Ready? Some are going, does not compute. Tilt. I can't handle it. Nassau, she's breaking up. She's breaking up. Okay. These people are so mystical and duped that they say stupid things like, well, if your car won't start, you must have a demon in the engine. Really? A demon in the engine. Well, if your vacuum's broke, then you need to have an exorcist come to your house and cast the demon out of your vacuum cleaner. No, the vacuum cleaner doesn't work because the vacuum cleaner's cheap. And they want you to buy another one every 3 years or they go out of business. That's why Satan isn't interested in messing up your vacuum cleaner. He's interested in messing up your mind. He doesn't care about your vacuum cleaner. For goodness sake, it's weird, goofy stuff. There's a lot of satanic activity in our land because of the video games, the movies, the television, the music industry, magicians that are really demon-possessed. I'm not making light of any of that. You know, when I was growing up, I remember we weren't allowed to play Dungeons and Dragons. It was openly called devil. It was devilish. That's when I was growing up. Now they've turned the Dungeons and Dragons games all into different type of level maneuvering and all different types of video games that are that way. And it's in so many homes. And you don't hear anybody speaking against the Dungeons and Dragons, but I remember when it first came out in the 80s. They said, don't let that stuff in your home. It's devil. It's got Satan in it. It's got demons in it. You'll hurt your family. But now it's everywhere. It's everywhere. This is talking to all of us. In Romans chapter 2, just listen, it says, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. I'll only read one more verse, just listen. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing another. So this is how Gentiles decide right from wrong. They don't go to the law of Moses. They're not Jews. You see, God confounded the language in Genesis chapter 11. Then God calls Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And then in Exodus chapter 20, God gives the law to Abraham's children. No one can read the law of Moses because they can't read Hebrew unless you're a Jew. It was a language that would confound them. The Jews didn't go soul winning, and then the Gentiles dwelt in darkness for 4,000 years. Romans chapter 2, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So if you're without the Word of God, you get together with a tribe and you decide, okay, if you're Persian, you know, if you're pick any worldly empire, what's our position on adultery? So then you get your wise men together and you talk about it and you come up with something. Hey, what do the Jews believe about adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery. God said so. That's different than getting together and deciding what you believe in your thoughts. Right? That's totally different. That's how God said, when you obey my laws, the people of the world will say, there is no nation like this nation. There is no law like they have. God speaks to them. And God did it for a testimony. When they say, well, should we steal or not steal? So the tribe, you know, some tribes will allow it, some tribes will cut your hands off. Who determined that? They just got together and they decided it. Hey, what's the Jews' position on stealing? Thou shalt not steal. God said so. Totally different. Totally different. Jesus comes, he dies on a cross, he rises from the dead, he gives the New Testament scriptures to the local New Testament church. People get born again and then follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become a member of that local church. How are they to govern their lives? By the Bible or by putting their heads together and seeing what they think about it? How come people that are saved today are living like lost people? Why? And no, I don't look at them and say, well, if you're going to act like that, you can't be saved. No, I'll bet you're saved and you're not living like a Christian with the Word of God governing your life. No, I think you can be saved and live like an animal. If the Bible isn't governing your life, if the Bible isn't governing it. You see, here's a group of Presbyterians. They say, what is our position on sex perverts? I mean gays. Okay, don't offend people. Use Bible terminology. Okay, what is our position on reprobates? Right? That's Bible terminology. Romans chapter 1. Their church sends their representatives to prayerfully seek the mind of God. They say they are Christians, but they're talking like Apache Indians. We need to figure this out and figure out what is it that we believe about reprobates. And guess the conclusion they came to? They came to the conclusion they now ordained them as pastors. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says. It does not make any difference. They say they're Christian, but they're talking like Gentile Medes and Persians. They had no Word of God, so they got together with a form of spirituality and approved or disapproved a position on homosexuality. The Presbyterian Church now ordains homosexuals. They did it regardless of what the Bible says. The Methodist Church now ordains women pastors. They did it regardless of what the Bible says. The Methodist Church now ordains homosexuals. They did it regardless of what the Bible says. They live as if there's no Bible. You have God's Word. This is how Christians justify drinking wine and beer. This is how Christians justify dating lost people. This is how Christians justify sex outside of marriage. Because they put their head together and they reasoned it out instead of saying, thus saith the Lord. I watched a horrible video and it showed a Christian church and these people, the praise and worship band is singing, I'm on a highway to hell. AC/DC. How are they justifying that? And then the leader of the band said, you know, we got together before that and we just, this is what he said. We prayed about what we should be singing on that platform in that church and God led us to sing Highway to Hell. From a satanic worship band? Are you? I mean, help us. It was depressing, honestly. And you call yourself a child of God? He prayed about it. And they're up there acting like animals. How can a Christian do that? Because they live as if they don't have a Bible. And you have one. Glory to God. There's a convicting side to this, but I hope that there's an encouraging side to this too. We have the Bible. We have the Bible. You see, I'm not talking about checking the scripture daily with a readiness of mind whether these things were so or not, like they did in Acts 11:17. But there are fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches where the people get together after the preaching or after the Sunday school class and they talk about and they discuss if they liked or not what was preached. Do you agree with that? Well, I know a lot of people that don't see it that way. The critics are not searching the scriptures. They're just matching up what's preached to their darkened mind. And they're not using the Bible to determine right. They're saying, well, how do you feel about that? What do you think about that? That is pagan. That's pagan. Who cares how you see it? I know that's a strong statement. Who cares how you feel about it? Well, let's pray about it. You don't have to pray about something that's already written in the Bible. You don't have to pray about going to church. You don't have to pray about going soul winning. You don't have to pray about tithing. You don't have to pray about forgiving somebody. You don't have to pray about reading. If you're praying about obeying the Bible, I'm going to make a strong statement. You pray too much. I never thought I'd say that. But do you understand the context I'm saying it in? You mean you pray whether you should obey the Bible? That's goofy. So God has to say it to you twice. It's not right. It's not a pagan way of thinking. You see, you don't have to. I'm just asking, what are you praying for when you say, "Let's pray about it"? If God's already told us to do it in the Bible, are you praying for another God to give you another answer since you didn't like the answer the true God put in writing for you? Well, we just felt led. By who? If you're saved and you have followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and you've joined the local New Testament church, then you're a member of that church. Now that you're saved, why would you continue to live in that Gentile ignorance and groping in darkness and blindly pursuing the voice of God, the will of God, the leadership of God, the purpose of God for your life? You have a Bible, and praise God, that time of groping is supposed to be done. You have something that is greater than the name of Jesus Christ in your lap if it's a King James Bible. You have an authority. It used to be you had to go to a church that didn't believe the Bible to act like God never wrote one. Now, there's increasing pressure on any man of God who's trying to teach the people to live by their Bible. And the pressure is, go ahead and give them another alternative. Give them another alternative authority. Well, God spoke to me. That's Gentile darkness, pre-salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not supposed to be Christian spirituality after Jesus Christ. The Christ you say you are trusting in better be the Christ of the Bible. The Word of God establishes who Jesus is. Every American has their rendition of Jesus Christ. Every Jesus that's portrayed and talked about is not my Jesus. The dead Jesus on the cross in some churches, that's not my Jesus. Mine rose from the dead, amen? That's not my Jesus. The Jesus in statutes as a baby with Mary, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus received the adoration of Mary after she got saved. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Said that in Luke. You seek, okay? Mary didn't wait for a church to magnify her. Take your Bibles and let's go to this last scripture. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. And look at verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, hopefully, verse 20 is marked in your Bible. Hopefully. Hopefully it's marked. But verse 19 is going to give us some really wonderful insight here. Look at Isaiah chapter 8 and look at verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter. Watch this, Isaiah 8:19, what a phrase. Should not a people seek unto their God? So how do you seek God? You don't find Him in the horoscope, praise God. That's for pagans. I don't know what a Christian's doing checking the horoscope. I know we can joke about Sagittarius and all that stuff. Yeah, and I don't mind a light joke, but it is witchcraft. We're not supposed to seek unto those with familiar spirits. So you check the paper. I got to read my horoscope to see if I can go to work today. I have family members that talk that way. I feel sorry for them, but God says we're not supposed to have anything to do with familiar spirits. People that are demon-possessed. Somebody wrote the column in the paper, I think they're demon-possessed people. Here, should not a people seek unto their God? So how do you seek God? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You seek God by looking in His Word. You don't need to talk to a bunch of people and get their opinions. I'm for getting godly counsel, and I wish more people would get it, but following a majority and testing the waters should never determine God's will. That is the way lost people live. It is not for you, child of God. You have a Bible. You've got a Bible. Some people are so sincere in wanting to be in the middle of God's will, and in looking for God's will, they miss God's will because they're trying to find God's will where it can't be found. It's not found in your feelings or your emotions. But they're sincere, and I understand the sincerity of it. That's why I'm preaching a sermon like this. I understand the sincerity of it, but you won't find it while I'm waiting for God. Are you reading your Bible? God's not going to speak to you outside of His Word. Demons will, your flesh will, but God's not speaking to you outside of that book. God's will and the leading of God can only be found in the Scripture. If you search for God, God's will, where lost Gentiles search, then you're going to find yourself in the same darkness you were in before you got saved. This is why a child of God can be saved and on their way to heaven, but living like a lost person. You love God with all your heart, but you're paralyzed spiritually because you're waiting for some kind of leadership or something outside of the Bible that's going to keep you from making a mistake, and that's your mistake. You're looking for God's will where it can't be found. Quit asking God to give you something other than the Bible and start devouring and consuming the Word of God. This is Labor Day weekend. I know that. Everybody talks about having tomorrow off and praise the Lord. When are you reading your Bible tomorrow? It's really none of my business. I'm just preaching right now. But tomorrow is supposed to be a day off for everybody. You know what I mean? When are you reading your Bible? Well, I just don't have time. If you're too busy, you're too busy. Where does God's Word fit in your life? Every day. And tomorrow with a day off. Well, I'm stressed about the picnic. I'm stressing. It's not going to be that bad. We've got everything bought. Okay? When you get up tomorrow, when are you reading your Bible? The best thing a child of God can do is devour that book you have in front of you and let it consume you. And it is then that God speaks to your heart. Then you don't need the emotions and the feelings and the impulses. All you need to know is in the Bible. And I'm so glad as a pastor I can stand before the people that I love and say, all you need is thus saith the Lord. When was the last time you were reading God's Word and He spoke to you from His Word and it rejoiced your heart? When was the last time you memorized a verse in your Bible? We're supposed to read it, sing it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. There's a whole lot of things we're supposed to be doing with this book. Well, I memorized when I was a kid. I don't do it anymore. I don't find anywhere where we're supposed to stop. Christian, the name of the sermon is, you have the Word of God. You have the Bible. Don't live like a Gentile before you got saved that didn't have a Bible. You have one and God can direct you. Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that, Lord, You could use this message tonight.